Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I fully support Mason Rudolph. We as an organization fully support Mason Rudolph. And to be quite honest with you, we were hacked off with what we saw this weekend. Not specifically from Myles Garrett. He's been in the lane that he's in. But what was displayed by ESPN in that panel, the way that the situation was presented, I don't think was fair to Mason Rudolph, and that's why I'm here today. He said what he's consistently said throughout this entire ordeal, that he did not and would not say what was said that he said. And he's been extremely consistent from day zero in that position.
That's Mike Tomlin. He is not happy at all. At the statement
day
by Myles Garrett over the weekend, just doubling down on the fact that he believes that Mason Rudolph dropped the N-word, racial slur, and that was the reason he went ballistic and he hit him over the head with a helmet. The panel that Tomlin was talking about was a panel of what should happen to Rudolph if he actually did drop this word. And Tomlin was pissed at it because he knows he didn't, or he believes he did not use this word.
So, and he's been extremely consistent from day zero.
And the zero evidence, nobody. There's nobody out there that was on that football field. There's no recordings. There is nothing that backs up what Myles Garrett is saying. So was he lying? Is the NFL covering it up?
Oh, God.
Where are the teammates
on
backing him up? I don't know.
Where are those conspiracy theorists who think that the NFL would go out of their way to cover something like this up? It's just unthinkable.
Well,
and it doesn't happen.
It in the past, people have said you have to believe the person when they say that they were victimized by this language, right? And yet, Mike Tomlin's doing just the opposite. He's putting down 100%. His guy did not say that, and he claims he's got the evidence. Everybody that was out there on the field. All right, to the phone call, 617-779-7937, and we'll get more into the Red Sox this hour. John Henry making his comments known today. Here's Matt. Matt's in Providence. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are you? Big fan of the show.
What's up?
So, guys, here's what I'm thinking. Where's the audio? It's a Thursday night football game. Every single offensive lineman's mic'd up. The quarterback's mic'd up.
No, they're not mic'd up,
not
Matt.
They're not.
They're not.
They're not.
They are.
They're not.
You guys go on Showtime. There's
one guy is usually one guy. And that's it. It's not every offensive lineman.
Correct.
Is not mic'd up. Sometimes it'll be just one guy on the other team.
Right. If it happened on the sidelines, Matt, because NFL films usually has these boom mics on the sideline, might have got picked up on the sideline. But while the game is going on out there, no. Christian's right.
No, every quarterback is mic'd up.
No, he's not. He's not, Matt. Matt, again, I don't mind you throwing your opinion out there, but your fact is wrong.
Make things up.
Wrong. You're making it up. No, they are not. They are mic'd up. They have headphones in there so that they can hear from the offensive coordinator and the coaching staff. They cannot talk back to them. Get it?
Okay. That's fair.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Voice of reason, Matt.
If there was sound of you know, Mason Rudolph saying this, do you think, would the league look at it if there was? Would they try to bury it?
No.
To make it look like there isn't a problem? Or would they come out with it and be like, oh, my God, and then suspend Mason Rudolph, and it would look better, wouldn't they, if they came out with it and he said it and they just suspended the player and he went away for a while for saying something like that?
Because
why would they bury it?
And that's part of it. So let's just say nobody was mic'd up. It's Thursday night football. There's cameras. There's tons of people. There's other players. And then if that was a trigger, because it undoubtedly is a trigger for a lot of people, easily, you excuse it away, dude. Hey, listen, he deserves it. But that's not why he hit him with the helmet.
Right.
He was almost like, hey, some little scrawny quarterback is coming at me, and I'm going to put this guy out of his misery. How dare you come after me? Had nothing to do with language.
Nothing. Jim is in Brockton next up here on OMF. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
How are you?
Glenn, first of all, Miles Garrett and Mike Tomlin are black. They don't happen to be black, so that phrase is kind of a little weird in this day and age. Secondly,
what?
Nobody is saying it was obvious, that
Jim, it was obviously made. I said it to make a point, but go ahead. Go
Glenn,
ahead.
How dare you? You're someone educated, ignorant.
Please. Go ahead. Make your point, Jim. What's your point?
My point is that nobody out there is saying that if you don't believe Myles Garrett, you're racist. That I personally, in this situation, believe Mason Rudolph, but that's just because of what evidence I've heard, like what Christian said and some other things. But this fake outrage that everybody is attacking you for believing Rudolph as opposed to Garrett, that's fake outrage. It's not like there's an overwhelming it's not like the majority of the people in the country are saying, oh, you have to believe Myles Garrett.
It's politically correct. That's what it is. I agree with you. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying right now. But that the problem is in society today, it's frowned upon. We heard it here with the Adam Jones situation. There was no witness to what Adam Jones said. And we weren't sitting, nobody was sitting there saying, oh, well, he definitely wasn't said. What everybody was saying is, where's the evidence? Do we have anybody that actually heard it? And we were told we're supposed to believe whatever Adam Jones said. And in this case, happened in November, a lot of people did.
Oh, my God, please.
Are you kidding me, Jim? Are you paying attention?
Oh, my God, if you sat there and said that, I'm not so sure he said it or not. People jumped down your throat.
We get chastised about it.
Oh, my God.
We had the Red Sox management sitting here chastising. We were talking about him, and they're saying, you have to believe him. Where have you been, hiding under a rock?
I think it's unfair to you guys because you have a radio show to do and you have to talk about these things. But it is a little bit dangerous to just say that, you know, everybody is forcing you into this opinion. It's an unfortunate...
You're not paying attention to society right now. And it happened with this Myles Garrett thing. And people were quick to jump and say, hold on, you need to believe him. And, you know, I think you need evidence. And if somebody had said it to him, if Mason Rudolph had said it to him, and one of these other players, and I think we would have heard, we would have known, there were other African-American players out there on the field who would have said something because it was offensive to them. And then Rudolph should have been suspended. He should have been given a harsh penalty. The fact that it didn't happen, aren't we now going to say something about Myles Garrett? Because what Myles Garrett is doing is he's
just as bad. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. That's the point we're making. Thank you. Point we're making. And by the way, it diminishes the value, negative value, of when this really does happen. When somebody does throw that word out there, we're all going to sit there and say, oh, come on, he's making it up. Because these other guys made it up. Myles Garrett made it up. But I don't know what he was missing. Did I miss something? Didn't we talk about this before?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. You're right. I don't know if he had a head in the sand when the whole thing went with Adam Jones. And I remember when that thing broke, I was like, you know, in the next 2 or 3 days, I'm sure, you know, they'll have evidence or they'll have a group of people or they'll have some guy because they got cameras everywhere. And it just never happened. And it just started getting to the point where, like, and then basically Sam Kennedy came on and just said, I looked him in the eye and he told us and I believed him.
So,
and it was like, well, is there anything else? Well, oh, my God, you guys need evidence? Oh, my God, really? Oh, you're so racist. You need evidence? And it's like, we had an incident, I don't know, it was a month ago or so. Something happened at a game and everyone in the section called the guy out for it.
Right.
And we're like, yeah, that's usually what happens.
Right.
And then that never happened. And God forbid if you had that opinion. You know, and it was sort of like, well, you don't think the word's ever been said before in Fenway? Sure it has. Oh, you don't think we got racism in our country? Sure we do. I just wonder if it happened that night to that player.
Right.
So do you ever read, this is for Glenn here, do you ever read the Akron Beacon Journal?
From time to time, yeah.
From time to time, when it's needed.
Yes.
So here's the headline for that. Ex-Browns GM John Dorsey says Myles Garrett told him right away Mason Rudolph used a racial slur. So Garrett contends he told former Browns general manager John Dorsey, coaches and defensive tackle Larry Ogunjobi on the heels of the incident that Rudolph had uttered a racial slur. On Monday, Dorsey told the Beacon Journal in text messages, it's correct and it's the truth, that Garrett informed him of the racial slur accusation right away. Also said that he told Freddie Kitchens, who was a former Browns coach, blah, blah, blah. But that's it.
So why didn't John Dorsey tell the rest of the public
right away
that? Because I'm going to read for you the statement that John Dorsey released on November the 21st, 2019.
Uh-oh.
As we've consistently stated, our organizational support for Miles will continue. He's a man of high character and unquestionable integrity. He was open and honest with us about the incident from the start. He has taken accountability for his actions on Thursday night, and this situation will not define him. As an organization, our focus going forward remains on the task at hand, which is preparing for the Miami Dolphins.
What was that statement? What day?
November 21st, 2019.
I just wonder if that was like a day or 2 days afterwards. Because when you...
It doesn't really tell you anything.
So why doesn't
it says he was open and honest, so it doesn't say what was he open and honest about.
But wait a minute. If the white player out there, the quarterback, actually said this to a black man, isn't that part of the whole story
here? He's one of the faces of your franchise. He's one of your first pick overall, right? A few years back.
Number one pick.
If that really happened, don't you defend that player that means that much to your organization? Don't you come out with it then?
Well, if he's got a reason why he blew a gasket out there, Lou, it's very simple. You throw it out there. You say, hey, wait a minute. You know, he did the wrong thing, but listen of what Mason Rudolph said to him. He called him this, right? You include it in the story. And now nobody. Yeah. So I'm wondering if John Dorsey wants to say anything now. I don't know. Steve is in Rhode Island. Hey, Steve.
No. Oh. Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good, Steve.
First of all, I haven't changed the channel in 8 years. Love you guys so much. So I just want to dispel maybe some of the myths and talk about the gray area, all right?
Yep.
I'm a 40-year-old white boy from Rhode Island. Through music, athletics, and the construction industry, I have a million black friends, and I've probably let the N-word slip 100,000 times in my life. But it's all about context, whether I'm doing an Eddie Murphy impression or doing rap lyrics or a Richard Pryor stand-up. You know, it's all about context. Whether Mason Rudolph... Let's say he said it or not. Is he a racist jerk? Maybe yes, maybe no. It really doesn't matter. It's all about context. It's the gray area. This polarizing political stuff, it's fodder. And you guys know that.
I mean, as far as out of anger on a football field, what would the context be there?
I don't think it's even possible. I don't think that a man that has played football all the years as Mason Rudolph has would even dream of looking Myles Garrett in the eye and saying that. There's no way.
So I'm not sure I understand your context then, because I know there are
certain ways, if he said it to him in that context,
that is not him saying a rap lyric or quoting Eddie Murphy. If he said what Myles Garrett said
100%.
On the field, given that situation, that is said out of anger and not taken the right way. I could say that much.
No, 100%. You are 100% correct. What I'm saying is, of course, it's possible that that happened.
There's no
Steve, hold on.
There's no context to be debated here. Mason Rudolph said he did not say it. 100% did not say it, or 1,000% did not say it. Myles Garrett says that was the reason for his anger, and not a single other person on the field or any recording that they found has anybody hearing it. So it's not It's not about context. It's nobody heard the word.
And, you know, and Dorsey doesn't necessarily have to hear what Mason Rudolph supposedly said. All John Dorsey is telling us is that Garrett came up to him and told him this, but he has no idea that it's true or not either.
Maybe he was totally embarrassed, Garrett, that is, of what he just did. He was a maniac out in the football field. And he sat there and his general manager's sitting there going, Miles, what the bleep are you doing, man?
Yep.
Hey, call me the N-word. Right?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Jeez,
all right, I get it now. I understand it now. Please. But it has nothing to do with the context. I'm not sure I agree with that last call. Here's Jay in Salem. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Jay.
Hey, I just want to say first, Mike Tomlinson is a class act.
I'm sorry, Tomlin.
I don't believe there's any kind of cover-up going on by the NFL or anything like that. The only blip that I seem to see is why this guy, why Myles Garrett, who from other things I've heard, I don't know the player, I haven't watched him, but all of a sudden just lost his mind on this guy. He may have thought he heard that word. He may have reflected afterwards and said maybe that wasn't the case. But I think at this point, with the ball rolling and national media getting on board, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Well, and
strong take
again,
there.
The national media, took a slant on it that pissed Tom off.
Sounded like Jet, didn't it?
It did sound like Jet.
Yeah.
Albert's in Rhode Island. Albert.
Oh, boy.
Hold on, Lou. This is going to be a good call because he's not going to sit there and rip Brady. We're gonna go a couple minutes here with Albert with no ripping Brady. This is a first for him.
Yeah, you might think I'm remotely intelligent after this. First off, I'm actually going to be serious this call. I want to give Mike Tomlin serious props for coming out and making the statements that he did, standing firm with his beliefs. That is not going to be taken as a popular interview or popular comments in many necks of the woods and what he said, but I believe it's firm and consistent with how he feels. But what's really sad and my reason for calling is what drove Myles Garrett to lean on call it the race card and what we've come to in society. And I'm going to skip adults because adults pretty much, we are where we are. We have our minds made up and our views. What's really sad is when the younger generation hears these type of issues and they hear this type of racist term thrown around. When we were all growing up, being called a racist was a really, really nasty thing. And it was something that was termed to a select group of people. Nowadays, after the last 8 years of our president, now it's thrown around the second something doesn't go your way, the second it doesn't smell right, the second we think we weren't treated fairly, oh, he's a racist. Oh, he's a racist. Well, he doesn't like me. He's a racist. Well, I'm this. I'm black. I'm Italian. I'm Jewish. It is sad what we have come into in society where we are so willing and able to term someone a racist, which is one of the worst things you can call somebody. Because, think about what a defamation of character that is from Myles Garrett to Mason Rudolph. This is a man who works in a league that is predominantly African-American. And this guy just called him a racist, and there's no merit to what he said. And it's a big, like I said, it's a reflection of a bigger problem. It is a societal issue.
Hold on a second. Is this really, you actually are making sense.
I wouldn't say remotely intelligent.
We're off a different subject now.
Yeah, remotely intelligent might be a stretch, but I would say he made some sense, and that was unusual.
Wow.
When he gets away from Brady,
I know.
He's not bad. He's not a complete idiot.
It's
not bad. Dean's in Rhode Island. Hello, Dean.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I had no idea I was going to follow Albert on this call, but
yeah. Congratulations.
That's okay. Thanks. Right. No, I don't want to take that. But so I was calling about the mics on the players and stuff. You guys were talking about that. And honestly, for the last couple of years, I've thought that players are mic'd. So I looked it up. And starting in 2011, they actually mic 2 to 8 players per game. They mic both starting centers and or both starting guards and the backup center. So there are people wearing mics on the line.
For what reason?
For the broadcasting reasons.
Right.
I went on NFL.com and looked up the broadcasting rights and stuff, and they literally say they mic up to 8 players a game on the line.
Yeah, but you still you have to probably. But no,
yeah.
you have the choice to say no. So that's why it's 2 to 8. Because some guys will say no, and other guys will say yes. I mean, who is it? After the whole Sam Darnold situation, a lot of guys did not want to get mic'd up. Remember the next Monday Night Football game? I forgot who was playing, but they did not mic up the quarterbacks. Because they didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, I know. I get that. But I'm just saying you guys are all saying to everyone that no one's mic'd. But there are people that are.
No, I'm not saying that they're not mic'd.
Did DeCastro come out and said he's been mic'd before but wasn't for that game?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's possible.
I think he did. So it wasn't like, you know.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
And so it's just, thanks, Dean. So to further, the NFL does this whole, so let's say there are 8 guys. let's say there's, let's just say eight on offense, eight on defense. It's just
eight total for the entire game, I think he's saying. They're not doing eight on each team.
I said four on one side, on offense, yeah. So whatever.
And that would be for playoffs, and that would be for NFL
but
films.
Still, like, if
Blu-rays they're
best
selling.
Best case scenario, if there is eight total players, just saying that, hey, you know, Myles Garrett's defense is, Mason Rudolph didn't have his mic. Okay, so there's seven other people possibly that would be around the play that I'm sure would be able to have, or was it just the one time where nobody was mic'd up? They all said no.
Christian, if the league was covering this up, as some people have claimed, there would have at least been a couple of players who would sit there and say, I believe them. I heard it. You're not getting that. You're getting none of that. They're saying just the opposite.
Well, I tell you what, I'm a Steeler.
I don't understand. Why would people think that? Why would the league ever cover that up?
It wouldn't make sense.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Fine.
Excuse
get
me,
it
it's
out
a backup
there. Suspend
quarterback.
Suspend the player. Get rid of him. It's more
correct.
Embarrassing when you get caught that you buried the audio, because truth usually does come out.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen this now a few times. But why would they hold that back?
Yeah, I don't believe.
I mean, they'd be getting rid of Mason Rudolph. They'd be applauded.
It's a backup quarterback.
It's not like they're trying to protect Tom Brady from saying it, or Aaron Rodgers, or Drew Brees. It's Mason freaking Rudolph, for God's sakes.
Wow. Rex Ryan! He was a starter.
Could have been that duck
whatever.
Guy. How about the duck guy?
The duck guy.
Yeah.
I love his last name,
Duck what?
I think the best name
Hodges,
of any
Hodges.
Quarterback was Touchdown Jesus. The guy that played for the Browns.
Mm-hmm. Here's John. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good.
I'm not ready to call Mike Tomlin a class act or give him serious props, but I will give credit where credit's due. I think the way he's handled this, he's done it very reasonably. Looking at the whole situation, if you're a player on a team and you had a black coach and something like this happened to you, you are more than happy with the way Mike Tomlin's handled it and sided with you. So I will give him that credit at least. Since I've called up this show and ripped him a bunch of times. So.
Mm-hmm. I think Christian said that earlier. I'm not crazy about him as a coach, but he's a motivator. There's no question about that. And players seem to love him. And in this instance, why would it make sense? He's got a lot of black players on his team. Why would it make sense for him to lie to cover up for freaking Mason Rudolph.
That's leadership.
Right. You're not covering up for a great quarterback, as we just said. You're covering up for a guy who's going to go back to the bench next year. Why are you doing that?
Shooting a hostage or anything of that nature.
To lose the credibility of all of the black players that you have in the locker room? It makes zero sense for him to go out there and be this adamant about it in defending Mason Rudolph. Crazy. Eric's in New Hampshire. Hello, Eric.
Hey, guys, great show. How are you doing today?
What's up?
Good.
Not much. diehard Steeler fan living in New England. I got some comments to make. First off, I'm just as shocked as you guys are that Albert actually made sense for once. I never turn off your show, and that's the first time he made some really good points. So that was nice to hear.
Maybe the last time.
True.
Yeah, you never know. Hey, so, I'm a diehard fan raised by my father, and just, I got to tell you, I don't think we're ever going to find out if there was a racial slur that was said. Unfortunately, the Rooney family does not mess around. Whether he's a third, fourth string quarterback, if they find out that he said anything, which I personally think that he didn't, but with the NFL today, we'll never know. He's going to be dismissed right away. So I don't know what anybody is complaining about here. I'm shocked to hear that Myles Garrett told his coaching staff that day that there was a racial slur.
No.
Why are we just hearing about it now?
No, the only thing we heard is that he told his general manager. That was it. But he didn't tell any of his teammates, because his teammates are claiming
he never mentioned it to him. Defensive tackle that says he told him right away, right, in that story? That Akron, but Sheldon Richardson's like, his other teammate, the first time he ever heard of the accusation was when a reporter asked him about it.
Like 7 days
later. I just think it would go around that locker room so quickly on the bus as
so
you're getting changed.
They'd all be
on
talking
the plane.
About it.
Oh, yeah. And there maybe there maybe
why?
There's – go ahead. Go.
Why is Cleveland covering this up, though? Why didn't they just come out with it? I mean – if you're a Steeler fan or anybody in the NFL, I mean, our rival is Cleveland. They hate us more than anything. If we did something wrong, why wouldn't they come out with it right away? Why are they trying to cover it up? This should have been out in the media months ago. Why is it just popping up now? That's making Myles Garrett and the general manager, or the former general manager, sorry, in Cleveland, look bad. Your guys' thoughts, listen to you all day. Thank you, guys.
In the Rooney family, he brought the Rooney family up, and Tomlin did as well. And he basically said, if you know the Rooney family, you know how we react to these things. But listen, what do you think the question was of all of those players when the game was over? What the hell did Myles do that for? Jesus, what was he doing? So you're not talking, you tell me, Christian, you're not talking in that locker room, but what the bleep was that about?
Listen, the first thing I'm doing, because you have your linebacker, your DN, your D-line group, they come to you right away. Dude, what the hell? You're telling him right away.
Exactly.
As soon as you right get away. Into the locker, you're taking yep. your pads off. Can you believe, dude, you went nuts. What the hell? What the hell?
So, I mean, you know, and I know that that other lineman said that he told him as well, but can you imagine, Christian, it's like, you know, something like that happens, a guy says it to you, and the only one that confirmed that report is the general manager?
That's it.
You're going to call the GM?
Yeah.
You're not going to tell every single one of your teammates, every single one of your coaches. You're going to call Dorsey.
And even Dorsey would be a situation where Dorsey would come up to him right away also. I mean, right? I mean, because there's going to be a media scrum. There's going to be lots of attention. It's Thursday Night Football. The first person who's going to talk to is going to be Dorsey. I mean, he's not the first guy, but he's getting involved. Freddie Kitchens, Dorsey, how are we handling this? What's going to happen? Why can't you control the team? What the hell is going on?
Yep.
So I guess none of us believe him.
No. Well, I don't. But there's no.
I'm okay saying. Hold on. Are you okay saying you don't believe Myles Garrett?
I'm fine. I don't believe him because there's no evidence. But as we said earlier, you know, people look down at you when you say that. And
but I agree with Lou, though. I don't think that this is different than the Andrew Jones, because I don't think people are
Adam Jones
beating up. I think they believe Mason Garrett. Morph their two names. Mason Rudolph. I think they believe him. I think it's not as big because there's less of an unknown. This one, to me, is a little bit easier. It's not some outfielder claiming that some person in the stands used a racial slur, because then you have other players on the team say, yeah, we've heard it before. So it's been proven.
Well, you've heard it before in a football field.
You think you've heard it before in a football field?
Yeah, of course.
Right, so that's. I mean, if you want to use that defense, we've heard it before at this stadium. Then you could say, okay, well, then Myles Garrett definitely, Mason Rudolph definitely heard it, because you know it's been said before in a football field.
Listen, guys,
must have said it.
I think times have changed, and I mentioned this when I was a kid going to Fenway Park. There were black players out there, and there were no blacks sitting in the stands. Okay, it was all white. But thank you very much. I heard it then. Of fans yelling it out at players who played for the Red Sox, guys like Earl Wilson, okay? And so, but now, if you had somebody say it in center field and somebody shouted it out, you're not going to find one person out there in the stands who's going to sit there and say, I was there, I heard it. I'm sorry, I think we've made a lot of progress. We're not perfect. We're far from perfect. But we've made a lot of progress where somebody would say it. And I do the same thing in this case with Myles Garrett. That you want to sit there and say, okay, we need to take this seriously. If he's telling us that there was another player and the reason for his rage was because a white player called him the N-word, we need to at least explore it. They did. They investigated it. Not a single player that was out there in the field heard it. Nobody heard it. And if you look at the video, there were people all cluttered up together, right? How was it that Rudolph is saying it to him and nobody else is hearing it?
I think
it
was a really bad, embarrassing, ugly situation. And that I think, this is me, this is my opinion, I feel like he needed to justify it somehow and at some point.
That's his excuse.
Because God forbid, people, you know, you can't just tell people that you lost it for a hot second.
Right.
You completely, you know, went nutso.
Well, how can you justify going crazy like that because somebody dropped the N-word on you to a black man?
It's
right?
And
you can sit there and say, okay.
Get out of jail free card.
I'd want to kill somebody too. Yep, all right. Okay. That's the issue with it. Mm-hmm. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. If you missed it today, John Henry decided he would sit down and talk to the media. He had two pages, all scripted. Then they took some questions. And as much as he probably put a good effort into all of this today, I'm not sure it went over that great. We get to it coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know what makes us all feel better?
Matthew Moore, Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
How many times do I have to tell you they pick up the trash on Tuesday?
It's OMF.
This is what you're dealing with
on EEI.
In today's game, there's a cost to losing a great player to free agency, one that cannot nearly be made up by the draft pick given. We at the Red Sox will remember this as one of the toughest, one of the most difficult decisions we've ever had to make. We felt we could not sit on our hands and lose him this next offseason without getting value in return to help us on our path forward.
So John Henry decided that it was a good day to sit down and try to address this. Why? Because everybody's calling him cheap, and everybody's saying this is a disaster, and ticket sales are down, and obviously it's affecting business. Lou is down in Fort Myers, so he saw it live.
Oh, yeah.
We watched it on TV today, and I will say this. I think John Henry attempted to do the right thing. He attempted with two pages written out to kind of give you a little bit better insight into what they were thinking and why they did it.
My favorite player was Stan Musial.
Unfortunately, it just, for some reason, it doesn't resonate with the fan base out there.
I don't
there.
Know why. I mean, I guess I do know why. But every time John Henry speaks, and it's once a year, I just feel like there's this grand inquisition. Like, nobody believes him. Nobody wants to hear what they say. They always try to catch him in a lie. There's just no trust whatsoever.
None.
And to me, that's the problem. I'd rather John Henry stand up there and just be my crazy uncle that gets drunk on Christmas, just cursing and yelling and howling at the moon.
Can you all hear me?
Because at least I could say, you know what? Yeah, he may be a little nutty and he's all over the place, but he's ours. And oh, by the way, he's won four. He's won four, so we should give him the benefit of the doubt because he has a really good track record. I mean, maybe not with the media. He contradicts himself.
No.
He's got a great track record.
Yeah, I could tell you from somebody who was a Red Sox fan since I was a kid, and I'm sure Luke can relate to this as well. Well, we grew up here, unlike you. And this is the best ownership this organization has ever had. Are you kidding me?
So why are they so... I just feel like there's always this weird relationship where it's never good enough. It's never enough. It's not what we thought it was going to be. You lied to us. What are you doing? You're screwing up our team. It's like they think they should win every single year.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with just it's the reality is that they, you know, the fan base can't get in touch with these guys. I mean, they don't relate to them at all. There's no communication skills. They are what they are. Tom is what he is. John is what he is. And they don't communicate well. They're not comfortable in those settings. They don't come off well in those settings. And I think that has a lot to do with people not liking them. I mean, you've heard it in the last couple of weeks. They're cheap. It's an awful ownership. Do everybody a favor and sell the team. Just all these. And you're like, Jesus, they won 4 championships. They spend more than anybody in baseball, just as much. You know, and none of it really makes sense. So where does it come from? They can't relate to the fan base.
And I think John Henry is sensitive. So when he hears cheap, he goes running to the microphone and he has to talk about it. When he knows that it's affecting his business right now because he's seeing it with sponsorships, with TV, you know, he's also seeing it right now at the gate. And, you know, I don't know, were there more people down there today in Fort Myers? That's been a big issue, apparently. It's been quiet down there. Were there more people down there today?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. There was today.
And it's school vacation week, so last week's a little bit unfair because they started so early before school vacation week. A better indication of whether the interest is totally gone will be this week and see how many people are down there.
It'll never be totally gone. I mean, it won't.
No, but
we deal in extremes. You know, oh, my God, they might only get 2.8 billion people, a million people show up at the stadium this year. You know, their ratings might still, you know, the ratings might drop to a 5. They'll still be second in the market, you know, and play every single day. Everything is extremes. It's just they can't communicate a point, you know, and that's it. You know, and some of it because they hold back, and that's why John gets in trouble because he doesn't hold back at times. But they can't communicate. Like today, I believe them. I don't think trading Mookie Betts had something to do with the CBT. I don't. It had everything to do with the fact that they knew they weren't willing to sign him. They knew what his asking price was. They felt like it wasn't smart business. It wasn't responsible for them in the future to give this guy high 300s, 400s. They weren't willing to watch him walk out the door at the end of the year for a fifth-round draft pick. So they traded the player. You know, if they were well under the CBT, they would have traded the player. No matter what, to get something for him before he walked out the door. But it's like the way it comes off, it's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
This guy's never telling us the truth about anything. But I believe that part of it. Now, price being added to it, hey, let's get under the CBT while we're at it and complete both goals.
Yeah, I keep on hearing him. He fights the media because they keep on throwing that CBT thing back in his face because he's the original one that said that was something that they needed to do. So I hear what you say, and I finally, after I've heard him argue this point numerous times.
That's crazy.
I think I've come to the conclusion when he says it was a goal, not a mandate. If we could have signed Mookie Betts basically on our terms, which we thought was a bargain, and you've thrown some of those figures out there where they were, then it would be worth it to go over it because then we could probably trade J.D. Martinez or we could find a way of taking Price and maybe Martinez together in a package deal with something else and get under the thing. But we would have taken him because he's the best player on our team if we could have got him at the bargain price. But he's afraid to say that, Lou, because then people are going to call him cheap again. If he comes out and he says, listen, we negotiated with Mookie Betts. He had a price that was way out of our league, and we thought it was outrageous. So do we wait now an entire year here and then go back to the table, and he comes back to us and says, I told you guys a year ago I wanted $430 million. Why you guys waited out? And then you get nothing in return for him. He would have looked like a total fool. But he can't say that to the public because then they're going to call him cheap again. You heard people. Pay Mookie whatever he wants.
Yeah,
he's a great player.
He's the next Babe Ruth. You're going to regret it. This guy's going to be a star.
You can sign him next November if you want.
No, you can't sign him. I just feel like even that situation, right, that's the smart move. That's the smart business move, right? Not signing him, not chasing him, and not overpaying him to the point of just crippling you. And so now you're cheap. Oh, I mean, they should get credit for doing the right thing. Well, they didn't get anything in return. They got 3 prospects. These guys are going to suck. We gave away a Cy Young Award winner. We gave away the MVP, and look what we got. One guy's got, like, issues off the field, and he's got back problems. He's never going to play for us. It was the right move. So if you're up against it and you're not happy, it's just fake outrage because you feel like it's cool and then to be mad and to hate the Red Sox.
They're not cool.
That's the trend.
But they're not
the
cool.
Hip thing to do is to hate on the Red Sox because and I don't know what it is, and we kind of just went over it. They're always on the opposite side of cool. Like the Bruins are cool, the Celtics are cool, the Patriots are cool, and the Red Sox are stuck in just this weird abyss of just like they're winning, they got good players, but you know what? They're not the cool group.
That's a demographic thing. It's part of the sport as well. And I think his ownership into the Globe doesn't help him.
Yeah, it's not good.
Because
that's one of the worst things he did, I think.
Of course, because we know where the Globe is politically, so if you disagree with anything with the Globe, you're taking it out on John Henry, even though he's not necessarily writing the stories, but he's the guy that's the keeper
of it.
It's
funny, any article you read that has a John Henry quote in it is always, it's either starts with, hey, he owns the Globe, or it ends with, oh, he owns the Globe.
Well, Shaughnessy does that. He throws that
in. No, but not just him. They all do it. Yeah. It's like they have to remind people who owns the Globe if you're talking about him.
Yeah.
Right? So hey, listen, I'm being critical of him. And look, and he owns me. He writes my checks.
Well, they're just disclosing
the
obvious. Yeah.
Full disclosure.
Yeah. But I would say this. I think Shaughnessy has the safest. We talk about the newspaper business being a dying business, and nobody's knocking that. We just saw, by the way, the Sacramento Bee, that company.
It's gone.
Oh, bankrupt,
no.
Bankrupt.
You get a credit?
Bankrupt. Bankrupt.
Like for your subscription that you get from them? Hopefully
they can get their act together. But they own a bunch of newspapers.
From the Connecticut Patch.
But they're all in bad shape. And Shaughnessy's got the most secure job in the world, because if they try to get rid of him, all he has to do is say they tried to get rid of me because I was ripping the Red Sox.
It's a perfect situation. They own it. Yeah,
so, right. Yeah. You agree, Lou? He's got the safest job in the city right now.
Yeah, and I think he's needed. You know what I mean?
Yes,
he kind of needs some of that pushback. So I mean, it's always kind of like, oh God, okay, the owners are coming in today to talk. You know, and I felt that was the same way today. Like, what are they going to do? And, you know, you could say what you want about the opening statement. I thought that was a good idea for John, you know, because I think at some point you got to realize what you're dealing with. Sitting up there and asking questions and live interviews and follow-ups isn't his game. You know, it just isn't. A prepared statement, something he could put thought into and kind of present it that way and just be like, and it was almost sort of like a Belichick thing in which he said the statement, and then when questions started, he's like, well, you've already heard from me, Sam. Tom, it's your turn.
Yeah, I
you know
didn't
what I mean?
Say that.
Like, and you want to know part of like the live question part.
I defer.
Yeah, but if Sam's not an owner, right?
Sam's not an owner.
Okay,
no.
So why is he up there?
There's no interest. What?
Why is he up there?
Because he's the president.
I know, but it's the owners.
Yep.
I just want to hear from the owners.
Well,
you know, he's a buffer.
I think Lou just told you why. That's why. Because he can handle that stuff probably better than they can. Yeah. But
as
listen,
you know, Christian.
I thought John Henry tried hard today. He talked about players years ago, and a lot of the fans are clinging on to, you know, you're trading away Babe Ruth. You
Tim
know,
Williams.
Years ago, they didn't have the opportunity to do what Mookie Betts is doing right now. And he also brought up the Nomar trade.
And
people were quick to kill him in social media right away because, as Lou remembers, because he was crushed when it happened. When Nomar got traded, the trade was made to improve the team's chances to win that very year.
Some of you, no doubt, felt the same way in 2004 when we traded Nomar, who, like Mookie, was a hugely popular homegrown player. All of us in the organization hoped that we would never have to go through something like that again, but most clubs face similar dilemmas from time to time. I understand there's probably little I can say today that will change how you feel.
You're right
about this, but it's my responsibility to try.
All right. Yeah. So, and the Nomar thing, as you know, is totally different because they needed a defensive. They needed somebody at first base. They got another shortstop. So they, in essence, helped themselves win in 2004.
Yeah, and the difference, too, is that a lot had happened in the year prior. You know, it's almost like
a little tape line.
You know, if you would, so I guess if you went back to, say, 2013, 14, the idea of moving on from Dustin Pedroia would have just, everyone would have been like, what are you, nuts?
Yeah, good analogy.
Bye, Nomar. Now, you know, or, you know, given the last couple years, it's sort of like if he moved on, I don't think people would sit there and say, oh, my God, you know. You know, you can't move Dustin Pedroia, you know, and I think Nomar, sure, if you traded Nomar like in 2000, 2001, Yeah, you'd have been like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
But by 04, it was a tough little tough area for him, I would say.
So the Nomar trade was made, and probably 50% of the people were pissed because they still like Nomar, and the other 50% are looking at it saying he's become a pain in the ass. And on top of that, they got pieces of holes where they were weak, and maybe this is going to tighten everything up and they're going to win. And, of course, obviously they won. You did not improve yourself in 2020 with the Mookie Betts trade. Matter of fact, people are questioning what you got. And it may take you quite a few years before you actually feel that whether those guys can actually help the Red Sox. So that pisses people off even more. Listen, they can't win with all of this stuff. And I think it might get a lot worse at the end of next week with this investigation, because I'm convinced the commissioner holding back when he was going to reveal it last week and suddenly giving us another 2 weeks, and this weekend telling us, you know, there was something more they had to, and now players have been talked to. I don't think this thing's going to be good, guys. I don't think it's going to be what Houston got, but I don't think this thing's going to be nothing. Well, and the Red Sox should keep on telling us it's nothing.
Well, did you, you know, when Manfred said, hey, listen, we had to go back and interview some other people again, you know, and Chris Sale said that he was interviewed.
Yep. Half an hour, he said.
Yeah, half an hour.
I have no idea what it is they're gonna find, if they find anything. You know, I've always talked about what it could be, in that these guys going in between innings and watching their at bats and seeing a certain angle and almost from that, you know, confirming scouting reports, looking at sequences from catchers within a game while looking at their at bat. JD Martinez spoke earlier about it, and I wasn't even aware that when he goes back in the video room to look at his, right in the dugout, to look at his at bat, he's watching the Nesson feed. And I was of the impression it was a different feed.
Right.
You know, that it was the instant replay feed, right, whatever it was, the home of just the catcher.
Because there is a separate feed.
Right.
There.
But as he pointed, he's like, no, I don't know. I watched the Nesson feed. That's what we watch our bats on.
Boy, it sounds.
And that changes a lot as far as, you know, going in there and studying your at bat and being able to steal signs. Because you can't, you know, sometimes between pitches, they're showing the runner at first base, or they're showing the guy in the stands, or these guys are talking to someone out in the bullpen, and next thing you know, they show the pitcher and he's set and he's delivering it. You never even saw what the sequence was. So when I heard that, I was like, well, Jesus, now I don't know what they could possibly get on him. Because, you know, the scenario I pointed out about going in there and watching at-bats and stealing signs that way by just watching your at-bat, I don't think that's the case either, not with the Nesson feed.
I tell you what, a guy like that's really going to be pissed off, I think.
He was talked about a lot today, yeah.
Yeah, well, with what the commissioner's doing, because there's no question the commissioner's going to close down that video room for players. Doesn't it sound to you like they're going to do that? Shut it down. Players are not going to have access to it.
As he pointed out, it's like, you know, it's like the instant replay room, some teams have the instant replay guy right there with the video guy, whatever. He's like, take the instant replay guy, and like I said before, even put it in the press box. Right. Like, get his ass out. Like, put the two teams in one room with a guy from MLB, and both their video guys are in one room. Like, whatever. And downstairs, let me watch my at-bat on the TV feed. Because I'm not stealing signs in the TV feed. Once in a while, you might actually see the sequence from a catcher. Not often. Every fifth pitch? I don't even know how often to watch. Next Red Sox game you watch, see how many times you're going to see the sign with a guy in second base. You don't.
Yeah,
the cameras everywhere.
I'm sorry, Lou. I just don't see how they're going to not levy something against the Red Sox. And it doesn't have to be what Houston got. It simply could be taking away draft picks, fine, whatever. That's going to be enough to label them cheaters. And they're going to have to deal with all of this crap all over again, with the Dodgers players all pissed off because they not only lost in 17, they lost in 18. You're going to hear all of this stuff. By the way, talking about that, has anybody heard about the Patriots Spygate 2 investigation?
Oh, I forgot what that actually was. What was that again? Oh, yeah, Mondillo.
That was
there was nothing.
The Patriots video.
Did they say they were coming down with that soon?
Talking about getting
a long time ago. Do they think we're stupid? Do they think they're just going to, like, let it go away? Is that what they're doing?
Kind of like Robert Kraft's investigation didn't it?
Oh, that's a good point. That like, totally.
Any minute now. Any minute.
Totally disappeared. Right? Where did they go? What about the two women? Oh, weren't they in jail for a while?
No idea.
They out. Where are they?
No clue.
Back in business.
It's a good follow-up story for somebody, isn't it? All right, we got last calls coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Good.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, now stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing hand?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
And it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate at carhelpachids.org. Did you watch the NBA All-Star game?
Enough to appreciate it.
I will say this. First three quarters were a complete disastrous bore fest where... the Giannises let the LeBrons do whatever they want, and then the LeBrons let the Giannises do whatever they want in return. The fourth quarter of that game might have been the best quarter of basketball I have ever, ever seen outside of like a defining Game 7 NBA final. But for it to happen in an All-Star game, first of all, you had the greatest players in the world, and they were playing at a high level, and they all gave a crap. They really all played. Like, this game meant everything to them. Now, the one criticism I do have of the game, Chaka Khan, we love Chaka Khan. We were talking about Chaka Khan the other day.
Better singer than Gronk, apparently.
Not real good with the national anthem. I think the White Tiger might have done just as well.
Hey, Chaka Khan won like 10 Grammys or something nutty like that.
Did you hear this thing?
I did hear it.
Gronk would have been just as good. I'm telling you,
Gronk I think between her and Fergie, it's a close race. But she made it her own.
But an incredible fourth quarter of the NBA. I loved every second of it. And now they're lecturing everybody. Do you notice that? They're telling, this is what they have to do in the Pro Bowl. What, are you kidding me? Fourth quarter. We're going to be serious
goal
now in the Pro
stance.
Bowl.
Are you four kidding plays me? And get a touchdown.
XFL, did you watch any of the XFL this weekend?
No, not as much as the first week.
What did you do this weekend?
I was chilling.
I guess so.
I was just loving it. I watched a lot of movies.
Seattle had a huge crowd. It was their home opener. So they did well, and it tainted the real attendance figures because the attendance figures at the three other games were down. The quality of play, I hate to say it. You said 5 years of the last 5 years. from week one to week two, the quarterback play has gone downhill. Do you know there are now more interceptions than touchdowns by quarterbacks in the first 2 weeks of these games?
If it wasn't for Cardale Jones, it would just be a disaster across the board.
But the highlight of my weekend was Mark C. James going ballistic. I want to tell you, going ballistic at Wiggy.
You take Ray Allen off the 2012-2013 Heat, they don't win the title. Yeah. Because LeBron bricked a three. Chris Bosh grabbed
a talking about Wiggy.
Let
the 2012.
Me finish!
But you're talking about
Let
a different
me
team.
Finish!
But
thank
you're
you.
Not making
Let
sense.
Let me finish.
You
Let me
done.
Finish!
God, you're
Thank
so
you.
Dumb.
No, but you're an
you're,
idiot.
You're talking about the
no,
Miami
I'm telling
Heat.
You about
the Celtics.
Wiggy, will you let me effing finish?
But
Thank
you're not
you.
Doing anything.
Well, Wiggy, you won't let me... Dude,
you're
let
not
me
making
finish.
Sense. Why?
Let me finish because you won't shut the F up.
But you're not making sense.
Please.
Why am I going to listen to
let
somebody
me finish
who's not making sense?
Because Chris Bosh grabbed the rebound off LeBron's three-pointer. He kicked it out to Ray Allen,
okay.
who hit the three-pointer that actually won the game. If Ray Allen doesn't hit that shot, the Heat don't win the title, you idiot.
But we're not talking
God,
about
that. Can you not understand?
Listen, listen,
no, boys.
Oh, Hurricane Fallon.
Listen to me,
Christ.
We are not
my
talking.
My God.
Listen,
boys
we're not
reason.
Talking
You're
about
exhausting.
The Miami, we're not talking about the Miami Heat.
So then he took a helmet and he cracked it over Wiggy's head.
Kobe Gooden Jr.?
So the company's medicated him, and they're bringing him in for the next 4 hours
yeah,
to fill
right.
in for a month.
That's right. No, it was fun, though.
What happened? Did you just lose it?
Yeah. It just
something going on in your like personal life.
No, you don't. Wiggy, because he kept saying the word for about 3 hours. Criteria. And I'm like, here's
the Kevin Garnett. Song.
Yeah,
that's criteria.
That was actually criteria. But that was actually.
Did you get the part, Ryan, where criteria? he called Kevin Garnett Kevin Garant?
Which, I mean, it was probably like 10 times. I think we should change the name to Kevin Garant.
Mark. Kevin Garant.
Come on. Wiggy says a lot of things wrong.
Do we even have a Yabba? Come on.
I tell you what. You're lucky it was Wiggy, though.
I know.
Because Wiggy, it's like.
Suppose it was you.
I'd flip this thing over.
I would never do that.
Come off the table.
No, call him an idiot.
Well, that's come see, over the table.
Let me give Wiggy credit.
He's gentle. He's big and strong, but he's gentle.
Hey, let me give Wiggy credit. He's got thick. Glenn, you admit this. Wiggy's got thick skin.
Yep.
And he can and you know what? After the segment, we're like, hey, it's all good. I'm looking forward to work with him on Sunday.
So you're saying Wiggy's fat?
He's fine.
I think he said that he's the darker, taller version of you.
He's the anti-Dale.
Wiggy can take it.
Kevin Garant did.
You can go at Wiggy.
That's in a name.
And he'll take it. He's willing to take it.
What is Fallon's role in all this?
Yeah, what does she do?
Traffic cop.
Well, you know what's funny?
She's in charge of traffic?
No, I know. I just watch her. I actually felt bad because she needed a hug after that.
She needed a hug. Like she witnessed the murder?
Like she looked like she wanted to crawl into a fetal position and go take a nap for like the next 8 hours.
Listen.
So what are you doing tonight?
Oh, obviously, the epic press conference today.
Yeah.
Down in Fort Myers. Yeah. John Henry, we're going to get into that. Right. And more on Mike Tomlin and what he had to say today about defending his backup quarterback, yeah. Mason Rudolph. Yeah. So, Lou's already down in Florida. When are you guys going?
Yeah, he's Wednesday. Down in Florida. And right now, I see him on TV. He's wearing the same shirt as the creature, John Tomasi.
Oh, my God. Oh my, look at this.
Oh, my God. Hey, Glenn, can I get a fashion update on Tomasi?
Can I just say this?
Yeah. It looks like Pat from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, my God. Lou's looking a little loose on this show. You sit next to Tomasi, and other than me, you should look skinny, right? Wow. Lou looks a little heavy there sitting next to Tomasi, doesn't he?
No.
Maybe it's what they're wearing. Dark clothes, Lou. Dark clothes.
Yeah.
Dark clothes. Oh, you poor bastard. Now you guys are all taking pictures.
Yeah.
It's going to be all over the internet. God, just what Lou needs. He's trying to get away
from us.
All right,
let's go. Come on, let's get out of here.
2 o'clock tomorrow. We'll do it again. Lou will be down there in Florida. We'll do it here. Mark C. James coming up next. You idiot!
It's over. We suck.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.